بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، the last time we covered the verses of Surah Yasin, which explained from a historical point of view what had happened to a nation, a group of people who had not believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the message had come to them, the people of Antioch. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after completing that in this third part of this series, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses we'll be covering, first he spoke about some of the other signs. After mentioning the story, he began to speak about other signs, mostly from nature. Signs about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes dead things to come back to life. And because people couldn't understand that, how humans will come back to life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving examples from other creation, especially dead land, other dead forms of creation that are given life and brought back to its greenery and to its freshness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, the verse we're on is verse 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to discuss His greatness and His majesty and His overall overarching power over everything. So He is going to give us some other examples. He's going to be speaking about things which were so important to people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم لا الشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون وآية لهم أنا حملنا ذريتهم في الفلك المشحون وخلقنا لهم من مثله ما يركبون. Now what that means is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, pure is the one who has created all the pairs of whatever the earth grows, and of the humans themselves, and of that which they do not know. And a sign for them is the night. We strip the cover of the day from it, and they are suddenly in darkness. And the sun is quickly proceeding towards its destination. That is the designing of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. And for the moon, we have appointed measured phases until it turns pale, curved and fine like an old branch of a date palm. Neither it is for the sun to overtake the moon, and nor can the night outpace the day. Each one is floating in an orbit. And it is a sign for them that we boarded their children in the loaded ship and created for them things similar to it on which they ride. If you just ponder over that translation for a moment, you'll see that it is speaking about practically everything that we deal with in the heavens and the earth. It speaks first about pure is the one. There's always the praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is beyond defect. His creation is perfect. And He is the one who all praise is due, for whom all praise is due. Pure is the one who created all things in pairs. All things in pairs. Now let us not take that from a human perspective and try to implement that on every other creature out there. Because when we're talking about human beings, we're talking about a male and female. When we're speaking about plants, yes, there is a male and female in that as well. But in many other things, there's not necessarily a male and female like there is in living plants and living beings as human beings. So Allah has created a pair, which means a variety. The word azwaj doesn't have to refer to pairs that are complementary to each other or are different to each other. This is speaking about different categories. So in everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is responsible for their different categories. And subhanAllah, I feel that there is an indication in there which belies some of the negative aspects of the evolution theory. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created everything in pairs, categories, in everything in its own unique way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if things do move from, some things do go through an evolution process of moving from one thing to the other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates it. Allah is the one who creates it that way. But the one thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being, Ashraf, Karramna. We ennoble the Bani Adam, the children of Adam. We made them noble. So no way can they be a vastly ignoble creature. I mean, no offense to monkeys or, you know, anything that represents that. But, I mean, it's considered not to be a very noble creature by most people. It's not, you know, again, with no offense, but it's just the way it is. We don't want to get into that discussion right now. But the main thing here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for creating the categories and the types in everything. So he explains, it's the pairs of whatever the earth grows, and of the humans themselves, and of that which they do not know. So these are two things that we do know. And we can see, and we're so, the humans are so in need, so much in need of these things that grow from the ground and from the earth. But also those things which you do not know. Another one is, and a sign for them is the night. A very clear sign is the night. We strip the cover. The word is naslakhu minhun nahar. And the word naslakh, salakh, is actually used for stripping the skin away from an animal. Because the skin, the wool, the fur on top, whatever it is, when you strip that away, it's a whole different color underneath. And only after stripping it away can you access the inside. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we strip the cover of the day from it and they are suddenly in darkness. So the inner portion is the darkness. That's the default state. The light above it is the temporary state. So night is the default state. Day is what is put over it. That's transient and temporary. Then he speaks about the sun. We look at the so-called movement of the sun from our perspective. Right? So from a human perspective, we're saying the sun is quickly proceeding towards its destination. It doesn't say the sun goes around the moon or the moon goes around the sun. That's what people read into this. The Quran is silent of that fact. Yes, the Quran does say that each one proceeds on its course. But that doesn't mean it goes around the sun. Or the moon or the earth. It's silent to that fact here. Because look what it says. The sun is quickly proceeding towards its destination. And clearly from our observation, that's what it's doing. Number one. And if we don't look at it from our observation, but we look at it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the perspective of the sun itself, it is so many thousands of times greater than this earth. And it has a course that it moves in as well. But it's not around the sun. Sorry, it's not around the earth. But it has a course. But we're so insignificant and so small in relationship to the sun that we can't see the course that it's moving in. So the sun has its course, but we're not privy to it. We're not informed. We can't observe its movement. For us, it stands still from a solar perspective, from astronomer's perspective. But if we look at it from our perspective, we see its movement. But the main thing is to focus on the fact that look, that when, because that the discussion about the sun is following the discussion about the night and day. Because the day, the light that covers or that illuminates the darkness rather, right, changes that state is by the sun. And the sun has a movement, and we know that it's something we can observe, that it starts here and it ends there. And then he says, the sun is quickly proceeding towards its destination, that is the designing of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. And for the moon, we have appointed measured phases until it turns pale, curved and fine like an old branch of a date palm. So we see this month after month, if you care to go and look for it, that it starts off very small as a sliver, the hilal. Then it grows and it gets bigger, and then it starts to recede. And we see that every month, that eventually it will recede into this old withered, as though it's an old withered stick from a palm tree, something of that nature. Nowhere does it say something's going around the other, because you could look at this from many different perspectives. Neither it is for the sun to overtake the moon, nor can the night outpace the day. Which means that one dominate the other, right? One dominate the other, and the sun never rises, except in areas where that's the case, where it's the norm for the sun and the moon, it does not change that course. Otherwise, it's a set norm. Which means that everything in this world is going according to a particular plan until the Day of Judgment, when things will be different. So, the fact that in some places the sun's light is mitigated in a sense, and it's cold and so on and so on, and it seems like darkness, well, that's the norm there. That's the way it is. It's never been otherwise necessarily. Neither is it for the sun. So, there's no haphazard system. It's a predictable system, right? It's a predictable system that we're going through. Neither is it for the sun to overtake the moon, nor can the night outpace the day. Each one is floating in an orbit, but in an orbit that is relative to it. So it doesn't have to be that it's an orbit around the earth that insists that the sun has to go around the earth, or the earth has to go around the sun. That's a separate aspect. If that's what it does, well, that's its orbit. But the Quran is just saying this is the orbit. So, you know, you cannot say that, well, some astronomers would have thought that the sun goes around the earth. But that's their thought. And then it goes back to history. Because pretty much all nations, just as we have, all nations had heard about the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam. And now, the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam, whoever was in there, is related to us. Every single person here, and that is listening to this and will read this, has some relative, some great ancestor in there. That's why he's saying, and it is a sign that we have boarded their children in the loaded ship and created for them things similar to it on which they ride. There'll be more tafsir of this as we continue. So that's the first part of this, of the verses that we're covering today. Then the other parts speak about the hereafter. So let's look at this in a bit more detail. Subhana alladhi khalaqa al-azwaja kullaha. Subhana, we've already explained that. It means Allah is transcendent and pure above any form of defects. He is the one who's created all of the pairs, all of the categories of things, and all types of everything. Whether it be the difference in color, whether it be difference in their taste, whether it be difference in their form, and difference in every other way. Those are the main differences you see: color, size, taste, and so on. And it's in everything else. So all accidents that occur on any of these substances, meaning all temporary states, all characteristics of things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of them. He says, مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ, from that which the earth grows, and from yourself, وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and also those things that which they do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, that we created pairs, categories of from everything, just so that you would make some remembrance, you would reflect and remember. Then, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ, speaks about the ayah, the sign, one of the signs, one of the biggest signs, because people, they value the day. They value the day. In fact, some people, subhanAllah, when winter comes along, they get depressed. But they should go and go to a doctor and speak about it, because there is a cure for this apparently. Some people don't know. They think it's just misery that they go through. But there is a cure for it. There is some imbalance somewhere that can be treated, inshaAllah. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارُ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. So I explained already, نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارُ. We strip away so that to uncover what's beneath it. So we take away the sun and then there is the night that remains there. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. The sun will continue to move in its course, whatever that course is. It cannot falter this way or that way. It cannot move off its course. And it will continue to do this until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it to do so. And that's why we learn in the ahadith that which we covered in quite detail in the signs of the Day of Judgment, the major signs, that one day it will seek permission and it will not be permitted to rise. And so in our perspective, to continue in this way. And it will be sent backwards. That's when it will rise from the west. So the sun continues in its course every day, day after day. It continues in its course because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits it to continue and illuminate the next part and continue. But one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you can't. And that is the Day of Judgment. So when the Day of Judgment comes, then initially a sign will be given that it will rise from the west and after that it will stop. With regards to the word مُسْتَقَرٌ لَهَا, Ibn Kathir says that there are two opinions about this. Because there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, أو أبو ذر أتدري أين تغرب الشمس. Do you know where the sun sets? When we see the sun set, do you know where it sets? Well, he didn't say when the sun sets. He says, do you know when the sun sets? قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu says, I replied, Allah and His Rasul know best, His Messenger know best. قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا تَذْهَبْ حَتَّى تَسْجُدَ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. It continues to go until it makes prostration. It prostrates under the arsh. Now the question that many have put up, those who want to find faults, is that we know that the sun just moves to another area. When it's no longer day here, it's day somewhere else. It's gone somewhere else. There's no time where it disappears completely and is gone from the entire universe. There's always where it's somewhere. So how is it possible that the Prophet ﷺ is saying that it does this sajda تحت العرش, under the arsh? Well, that's many ways to understand that. Firstly, this is speaking about, you could take it metaphorically. Prostration for a human being, sajda for a human being is on seven limbs. Without that, our sajda is not done. Our forehead, palms, knees, feet, nose, this is our limbs that we do sajda on. Everything has its own way of prostration. Everything doesn't need seven parts or seven limbs to do prostration on. So firstly, whatever that prostration is, that is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly the prostration of the sun. However, to take it metaphorically, the fact that it abides by the command of Allah in this obedient way, day in and day out, going and moving from one place to the next in its course, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set it, that is prostration. That is submission. Right? That is the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, if you don't want to take it metaphorically, and it says, the Prophet ﷺ said, it goes and prostrates, where? تحت العرش. Well, where is تحت العرش? There's a hadith that's related by Imam Tabari, and most likely Ibn Mardaway as well. The Prophet ﷺ said that this entire universe, compared to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like a ring in the middle of a vast desert. This entire universe is like a ring thrown into the middle of a vast universe. And that vast universe is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever it goes, it's taht al-arsh. Wherever it goes, it's beneath the arsh. So in its daily routine, going from one place to the next, it is probably constantly doing sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its own way. It doesn't need the limbs to bow down. It is in submission. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what exactly this means, because the sun is too great, too mighty, too majestic for us to go and discover that. We're not looking at something smaller than ourselves. We're looking at something way beyond ourselves. But clearly, that every place is tahta al-arsh. And it's just to show its submission. And Allah knows best. But these are all possibilities. And the second, only one of these is mentioned. This hadith is referenced by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. The second, the other two explanations I got are from other tafasir. But the second explanation that Ibn Kathir gives is that the sun continues in its course until it goes and does the sajda, the prostration, under the throne of Allah, referring to the Day of Judgment. So this is not an everyday thing that it goes and prostrates under the throne of Allah as referred to, because the hadith is general that it goes and makes sajda. The Prophet ﷺ was not necessarily referring to it each night, but is speaking about the life of the sun, that eventually it will go, and that's where it will end up. That it's such a great creature, it seems like nobody can stop it. It has its course, it doesn't stop for anything, does it? Normally it doesn't stop for anything. Except there are some miracles related about Ali radiallahu and others about kind of pausing it for a while, right? So that the Asr Salat could be performed. But the main thing, it does not stop for anybody except Allah. So this is to show that, but eventually that will also go and prostrate. Just like people in this world, they think they're great, they think they are independent, they're all powerful. Well, if you want to think that the sun is like that, no, its end will also be like this, although it's constantly doing such that anyway, if you look at it from the first opinion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but I think this is very satisfactory in terms of this explanation, is inshallah satisfactory what the Mufassirin have given us, because eventually Ibn Kathir mentions that the end of its mustaqar, the end of its orbit or its place, its course, is on the Day of Judgment, when it will no longer be able to move, and its movement, it will become motionless, all movement from it subsiding, and then it will be rolled up and it will be in a state of prostration. In fact, in another qira'ah, now this is a third, this is a another option among the four. I think we gave four or five possibly four or five explanations. But another explanation is that in another qira'ah, it says, "وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لَا مُسْتَقَرَّ لَهَا," instead of "لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا." The way we read it in the mashhur qira'at, in the famous readings and renderings, is the sun travels limustaqarrina, in its course, according to its course, for its course. Whereas la mustaqarra laha, the sun travels, there is no place for it to stop, because it continues. And that's another possibility. But the first opinion is stronger anyway. Because the second one would, supports the aspect that it doesn't really stop, does it? It's night in one place, so it's a day in another place. And when it's night here, it's day in another place. So there is no stop for it. There's no rest for it. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. This proves what we've been saying above. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, which means, this is the taqdeer. Taqdeer means, this is the designation, decree, planning, design, estimation, although the word estimation is weak, but in the sense that this is the determination of Aziz Alim, the mighty one who can control the sun and all these majestic celestial bodies, and also the Alim, the one who knows exactly where it's going to go, where it does, what's going to happen to it. So in there is a sign that you do not know. What we're speaking about here, you may differ about it, you will not get to the reality of it, but this is the determination of the mighty and knowing one, that he knows exactly its course and where it will go. تقدير العزيز العليم. That's what it is. Because if we knew the reality of the sun, then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? But he's saying that there are obviously things in there which you will not understand. It's too big of a body. It's like a little bacteria literally trying to understand the tooth that it's on. Look at the sheer proportion difference. So ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ. The other thing is, the other taqdeer is also determination, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets it out. So it's set so perfectly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged the sun and set it to work in this way so perfectly that it's running its course is perfect. بِحِسَابٍ دَقِيقٍ. You know, with a very, very subtle and very fine-tuned, sophisticated course as it sets in and as it continues its course around the world. Then, وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَكَ الْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. Again, the word uses manazil. Some would refer the word manazil to an old Akkadian term which can be translated as mansions. Not, you know, mansions of brick and mortar, but these are the mansions in the heavens, which are considered places where the moon, stages of where the moon is at given in a given part of the year. And what this is referring to, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is, we have appointed measured phases. For the moon, we have appointed measured phases. Right? So, one is obviously what we can clearly see. And then there's what the astrologers and the pre-Islamic Arabs and then the Islamic Arabs, because of their connection with the desert, found it very important to designate these things because it helped them to understand weather. It helped them. And then the pre, which is haram in Islam, is to predict things, which is totally banned in Islam in the sense that it was totally denigrated and not approved at all in Islam. But the moon is being referenced to this kind of a sequence. So what it is manazil could be considered, manzil means a place where you do nuzul. Nuzul means to stop for a while. Right, to reach somewhere, that's a pause, that's a stage. So manazil is the pull of manzil. Right? So these are, you can say, the night residences of the moon. Because whether it's day or night, the moon is moving. It doesn't move only at night. But when it becomes night for us, we see it at a particular stage, in a particular state. So that's why, again, it's from our perspective, that these are the mansions. So today it's at this place, tomorrow it's at this place. Basically it's this size because of the light from the sun and so on and so forth. Normally what it is that there are 28 divisions of the path of the moon. 28. Throughout the year, there's 28. Each one is 12 degrees and 51 minutes. Between each two of them is 12 degrees and 51 minutes. There's 28 in a year, each one lasting about 13 days. Right, each one lasting about 13 days. And what they've done is, each one or more than one, they've grouped into what they would call nawa. So these are manazil, and one manzil or two manzils have been grouped, depending on where they are, where they occur during the year, they call them nawa, pul anwa. Right? So that's why the Prophet ﷺ uses this word in hadith as well, that they say, when it comes to this nawa, this will happen. And if it's this note, then this will happen. But he's saying that that's all just false. So the nawa, the anwa, these are either a particular manzil or a group of manazil, that it's still within this note. That they tie to weather patterns, for example. Each manzil is tied to a dominant star. Right? Each manzil is tied to a dominant star. In the estimation of people, this is. The Quran isn't saying any of this. It's just saying that it has manazil. But it doesn't say 28 manazil anywhere in the Quran. So people figure out, because by pure, clear observation for anybody who doesn't know zodiac or anything, we can see that the sun, the moon is at different stages, predictable stages. The 14th moon is going to be the largest one. And then the first one, and then the second one, so on and so forth. Although, unfortunately, that one is also one full of ikhtilaf, which is really problematic for us. But each manzil is supposed to be tied to a particular star or a constellation. Now these, we're talking about from the Arabic astronomers, the Arab astronomers. Each one of these constellations and stars that they tie these manazil of the moon to, some of them are similar to what people may know of the astrological ones. They're not all necessarily the same though. They've got the Pleiades, they've got a few others. They're not all the same, but some are similar to that. I think that's where we will stop it. That's as far as my knowledge goes with this, right? Alhamdulillah. But the main thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, that the moon, we have appointed measured phases until it eventually turns pale, curved and fine, like an old branch of a date palm. That's the last sliver of it. Now the thing about pairs in plants, many things, science has later found pairs in things that were hitherto undiscovered. That's why it says, وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And pairs in also those things that you don't know, because it's complementary pairs. Another thing to support what we were speaking about the sun and the moon is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and this is a very powerful statement, because he says, اِئْتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the heavens and the land, the earth and the heavens. And he says, come together, طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا, whether you like it or not. Right? Basically, willingly or unwillingly, by force or willingly, come together. قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. They both said, we will come willingly. However, when you look at the matter from which each of these are created, they are supposed to be opposites. They're supposed to be repelling of each other. But the fact that they're together, I mean, there's a number of things. We don't want to go into a discussion of the science and Quran, that there are people who already speak about that. You can look into those places. We're doing a tafsir of Surah Yasin and just relating the particular issues. But yes, then it carries on. Then it begins to speak about things that you ride upon. And with that, it relates back to Nuh alayhi salam. But its focus is what Allah has given you so many things to ride upon. The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the example of this withered branch, this old branch of a date palm, is because this was observed. They could observe the way the sun, then the moon, and how it ends at the end of the month. Then they could also observe how the palm and various parts of the palm would become eventually. So it was to make that connection, that look at this, you'll see it here as well. Although it's not as clear here, it may be more clearer here. But it's to just show that Allah, this is all from the same Creator. But each thing has its own unique course. لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ. After talking about the two individually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not for the sun. And look at the way he says it. Could have said, the sun cannot reach the moon or catch up to the moon and overcome it. It says, it is not for the sun. لَالشَّمْسُ, it is not for the sun that it does this. Which is more powerful to say, it doesn't have the ability to do it, because it's not ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's prohibited from doing that. So neither is it for the sun to overtake the moon. لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا. So, it's not appropriate for it, it's not permitted for it to do that. It just doesn't have the ability. However, it doesn't mention that here, but it mentions it in another surah, that when it comes to the Day of Judgment, جُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ سُرَةُ الْقِيَامَةِ فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. That when it Here it's saying the sun cannot overtake the moon, and neither the moon can overtake the sun and dominate itself. However, when it comes to the day of judgment, they will both be put together. Jumi'a ash-shams wal-qamar, will be just put together, because there will be no use for it anymore. We're going beyond this world. Another ayah, wa ayatul lahum. Another ayah, just as before. Wa ayatul lahum al-laylu naslakhu minhu an-nahar. A sign for them is the night. Another wa ayatul lahum, another ayah, another sign. If you don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind all of these, the mighty, majestic, and you should worship Him. Another ayah is that we have boarded their children in the loaded ships, and created for them things similar to it on which they ride. What it is that the older people in Arabia at that time used to send their younger children in the ships for foreign trade. That's why their children are specifically mentioned. And what it is that they must have felt that when you look at a ship in the middle of a vast ocean, it's literally like a piece of straw flowing in a lake, when you compare the size of the two. Absolutely powerless. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them this way, which they use securely and with some sense of security. Not 100%, it's not security in 100% security in anything, but with some sense of security. So He's trying to remind them of the fact that even in the ships that you send your sons on to go and trade, because Jeddah was close by the port, so some used to send them through that way. That is also another sign for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you enough security that you feel confident enough to send them, and it gets them to their destination. So just like we've done your children like that, your forefather the same thing. When a torrent came, the floods came, that nothing could happen, nothing could survive it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed Nuh alayhi salam to create, to construct this ark, this ship. And that was all by our doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it to navigate the paths of this storm and this water. And it came to rest on Judi. وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. And we created for them things like the safina of Nuh, like the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. These major ships by which they sail the oceans, that even though relatively speaking they're very small and minute compared to the vast body of the ocean of the water, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to do this. إِنَّ نَشَأْ نُغْرِقْهُمْ فَلَا صَدِيخَ لَهُمْ. So then it continues with that. وَإِنْ نَشَأْ نُغْرِقْهُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَضُونَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَى حِينَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. And if we so will, we can drown them. Although there's a sense of security, but if we want, we can make it useless and it will drown. Then no one will respond to their cry, nor will they be rescued, unless there be mercy from us, and unless we let them enjoy for a while. And they pay no heed when it is said to them, save yourselves from that punishment which is before you in this world, and that which will come after you, come after you die, so that you may receive mercy. There comes to them no sign from the signs of your Lord, but they turn averse to it. So, if we want, we can drown them. Then no one will respond to their cry, nor will they be rescued. Because even today, with all of the facilities that we have, and all the coast guard, and the rescue mechanism and the arrangements that we have in place, still people die. Because it's just too vast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. But then there's also an outlet. So He says, unless there be mercy from us, then they will be saved either by somebody else, or they'll be thrown onto an island, or they may be able to clutch onto a small piece of wood and and get to safety. Except that's if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So it's a perfect description of the way it is. And it's still like that. But, and unless we let them enjoy for a while, sometimes it's mercy. There's two reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give somebody success, somebody safety from an accident of that nature. Unless there be mercy from us, so that person has rahmah. So that person is going to be treated with mercy, so his safety, his delivery from this problem was mercy. But then there's also people who are evil, and they're saved sometimes. So just in case people start thinking about that, and unless we let them enjoy for a while, that's just giving them a bit more time in this world to continue with their tyranny. And they pay no heed when it is said to them, save yourselves from that punishment which is before you in this world and that which will come after you, so that you may receive mercy. So after all of this, there's a bit of nasiha. That this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He ends it, He pauses it on this issue of the ocean and the ship in the ocean, which is obviously very precarious. And then he brings in this description or this exhortation that they don't realize when and that which will come to you after you die so that you may receive mercy, but they don't take heed to that. In fact, there comes to them no sign from the sign of your Lord, but they turn averse to it, which means they come sign after sign and each one of them they reject it. Whether it's a cosmological sign, whether it's from nature or whether it's a sign from the Quran, a revealed sign. They turn averse to it because their hearts are so dead. So if somebody is at the ocean with everything in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can safeguard somebody and keep them protected. That is a major sign for them. This safina, that was a major sign for them. And even today, I mean, when you get to the ocean, and if you're in the middle of the ocean, you just feel so weak. Whatever you have with you, you feel so weak. What can you do? So the sign here, too, one is the fact that this little ship that's so mighty when you look at it from a human perspective, but compared to the ocean, it is so small that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the ability to ride in it, to traverse these oceans. And the second thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them protected, but He can overcome them if He wants to. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When they're told to save yourself from that punishment which is before you in this world. مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That is in front of you. وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ. That's behind you. That is going to catch up with you in the hereafter. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Protect yourself from it now, before it happens, so that you are treated with mercy. So this is all the sign for that. That if you do not listen to these signs, then this is what will happen to you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on. And they say, when will this promise come true, if you are truthful? When will this warning come true, if they're truthful? When, because their hearts are so dead, and this nasiha is not going to benefit them, those who it's not going to benefit, they eventually become so bold enough to say that when will this warning, this promise that you keep making come true if you are truthful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we're not going to cover this today, but we'll cover this in detail next time. They are looking for nothing but for a single cry that will seize them when they will be quarreling. So they will not be able to make a bequest, nor will they be able to return to their household. So now this ties it in with the story that was mentioned of the people of Antakya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so angry with them and considered them so despicable that He didn't send a special punishment as send loads of angels. But He just had Jibreel alayhi salam shriek once, and that destroyed all of them. So here He's saying as well that the only thing that will help these people, or is that what they're waiting for? A single cry that will seize them. And then it will be so fast that they won't be able to make wasiyah. They won't be able to say, okay, this is for that person and this is for that person. Or this fulfill this responsibility and that responsibility. They won't even be able to go back home. But if that happens, that will be the end of it straight away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all of these calamities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us, give us insight into these signs. strengthen, refresh our iman, strengthen our iman, and keep us believers until our last day, and grant us Jannatul Firdaus wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.